If you hang out in food stores and kitchen shops, you've probably seen salt blocks. They look like pink marble. There are solid ones that are squares, rectangles, there are bowls, there are cups. This is a new cooking medium. But of course, the salt is actually as old as the hills. It's called salt block cooking, specifically Himalayan salt block cooking. And a man who has gathered a vast amount of information and insight on salt is Mark Bitterman. Mark has the salt shops, The Meadow, in both Portland, Oregon and New York City. And Mark's written Salt Block Cooking, 70 recipes for grilling, chilling, searing, and serving on Himalayan salt blocks. Mark, it's good to have you back with us.
It's great to be here.
Well, you know, first, I think we need to do visualization on this because, you know, if you haven't seen a salt block, it's kind of hard to visualize what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're kind of not from this earth is the way they feel. It's essentially the crystallized soul of a 600-million-year-old ocean. It's a giant luminescent chunk of salt that is infused with magnesium and iron and zinc and manganese and all these beautiful minerals that give it this kind of preternatural pink crazy color. And frankly, when I first found salt blocks, it wasn't just their kind of otherworldly beauty that attracted me to them. It was actually their something physical about them. I swear to God, I would walk around with one in my hand for days. I could never put them down. I'd keep one in my pocket that was smaller.
Really?
Very attractive, yeah.
I must say, to me, they look like pink marble. And I know now we have the bowls and we have serving pieces. But what does the salt block look like? I mean, how big is a salt block usually?
So they range in size. We cut them, you know, they could be a small little plate, like a 2-inch by 3-inch thing just to put a pat of butter on. Or they could be as big as like 9 inches by 18 inch by 2-inch thick giant slabs that you could use to present food on.
And you actually cook on these babies?
You do. So they have tremendous thermal properties. They keep any temperature that you put them at very well. So you can freeze them in the freezer. You can heat them up on the stovetop or on a gas grill or any grill to an excess of 500 degrees. I cook on them 550, 600 degrees all the time.
Ah. Can you put them in the oven?
You can. You temper them first on the stovetop so they're kind of used to being in the heat, and then you can throw them in the oven. Yeah, and then you can bake walnut scones on them or some pizza dough, dinner rolls, whatever you like.
So, all right, but the big question here is, because these are not super inexpensive, what does a salt block do for food that other equipment doesn't?
It's almost hard to think of what they don't do. They're very versatile. You can take advantage of a bunch of different properties that they have to offer. They're very heavy, so you can use them to compress food. You could put them on top of something. For example, heat up your salt block on the grill, throw a piece of butterfly chicken down on the grill, and then sandwich underneath that piping hot salt block, and it will press it and firm it and sear it with salt at the same time. You can also use it for its heat by heating it up and throwing some scallops or flank steak on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for its ability to cure food. So press two salt blocks around a piece of salmon and you get gravlax.
Ha! Huh. And do things taste very salty when I use a salt block?
That's the trick. Whenever I hear that someone has food that came out too salty, it's inevitably the result of maybe not using quite the right technique. So if you're heating with a salt block, when you get it hot enough, you're really hitting it with that hard, fast sear, that quick, intense amount of energy that just kind of pumps into the food. You get that glaze on it, and it's a salty glaze just on the surface, and the food is seasoned to perfection. If you're using it for serving something, say some mozzarella and green apple or a watermelon and feta and mint salad, like is a recipe that I have, you feather the food out on the salt block so that, or fan it out on the salt block so that not all the food is in contact with the salt. Because, you know, even if it's on the salt for a little while, only a small edge of that food gets the salt on it.
Okay, what to look for when you're buying a salt block?
The main thing is to buy a salt block that's appropriate for the use you have for it. So if you're going to be using it for serving and for curing or for chilling, you can buy a grade of salt block that has more irregularities and fractures and kind of crystalline imperfections. So it'll be very, very beautiful, but not as structurally rigid as a salt block that you might need for cooking. For cooking, you want a salt block that has amazing crystalline uniformity. We actually have a grade called a cookware grade salt, which is specifically designed for that. And that's necessary because there's a lot of stresses that go on the salt block when you're heating it up on a stovetop.
So you're looking for a salt block that isn't distinctively patterned. You're looking for something that's more one muted tone?
Correct. The most boring looking salt blocks, which are still tremendously exciting looking, but the most uniform looking salt blocks are the best ones for cooking.
Okay. How thick does it have to be?
I definitely recommend going with a salt block that's at least 2 inches thick for any kind of actual high-temperature cooking application because it gives it a lot of structural kind of support. Thinner ones tend to find any fissure, and then they can crack and break on you. It's not a catastrophe if it does break. I actually have a sidebar in the book called 15 Ways to Celebrate a Broken Salt Block because you can do lots with it once they break, but it's not as useful for cooking. So nice 2-inch thick one for cooking. If you're serving, it does not matter how thin it is. Sometimes the 3/4-inch thin ones are really kind of beautiful little plates.
And cleaning it, can I wet it? How do I clean this thing?
It was rather funny. I put a giant 9-inch by 9-inch by 2-inch 12-pound salt block in my dishwasher once as an experiment.
You're kidding.
I closed the door, ran it, opened the door. There was no salt block. So don't do that. What you do is you just get it gently moist with a sponge and then hit it with a green scrubby or a stainless steel scouring pad, wipe it, and then repeat that process until there's no more adhering proteins. You don't need to get it any wetter than that. You do not need to use any soap because it's naturally antimicrobial. And you just pat it dry with a paper towel and you're good to go.
Thank you, Mark. Fascinating.
It's my pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
Mark Bitterman's written Salt Block Cooking. Try his watermelon and feta on a salt block. Now, Mark claims the block lifts the watermelon into a sensual symphonic experience. See what you think. The recipe's on the website, splendidtable.org.